Good morning and welcome back. It still is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Sam Oracle Chinedu. There are important conversations to have. As I always say, one is about to happen now. Well, yesterday was Father's Day. Before we dive into our focus for this morning, it's a day set aside to honor fathers or relevant father figures, as well as fatherhood, paternal bonds, and the influence of fathers in society. So to all fathers, happy Father's Day, including and especially my guest, Mr. Olalekan Ige. Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, thank you, Chinedu, and let me also wish you same.
Thank you, thank you. It's not easy. I've heard that many times, but I've seen it myself this time.
And growing up, a lot of us didn't understand, what our parents were facing there. Our job was to demand, and we expect that must be met immediately. Not that you're in that position.
We owe our fathers an apology.
You not need to write. Unfortunately for somebody like me, I'm an orphan.
Oh,
no father, no mother. So except I continue to call their names and say, look, I'm sorry, I apologize. I remember I went to boarding house, and the funny thing, each time I'm going back to school, I won't tell my parents what I need until about 3 or 4 days.
And you give them lists.
And of course, it will include making new housewares, you understand?
Okay, well, we apologize, daddies, and we wish you a happy Father's Day. I'm not supposed to condescend to the advocacy for more Father's Days in a year as against Mother's Days, but I'm not mature. So please, whoever's responsible, add the remaining four, that we still need for this year. So we celebrate our fathers enough. Now, focus for Morning Crossfire this morning is on jurisdiction. The dictionary defines it as the extent of power to make legal decisions and judgments. And it is connected to the suspension and eventual arrest of course, starting with the CBN governor, Godwin Emefiele. He was arrested by the Department of State Services, DSS. Emefiele's arrest came on the same day the president, Bola Tinubu, suspended him from office with immediate effect. He was suspended sequel to ongoing investigation in his office and the planned reforms in the financial sector of the economy, according to a release by the secretary to the government of the Federation, George Akume. Also, suspended EFCC boss, Abdulrasheed Bawa, was in custody of the DSS. Spokesperson of DSS, Peter Afonaya, said Mr. Bauer was invited by DSS in relation to some investigative activities concerning him. Earlier, Bauer, just like his CBN counterparts, was suspended by President Tinubu indefinitely following weighty allegations of abuse of office. So two people alleged to have been corrupt were arrested by the DSS. Investigation is ongoing. And in response to this, human rights lawyer Femi Falana says the DSS lacked the constitutional power to investigate and prosecute the suspended governor of the CBN. In a message to journalists, he said the Emefiele should be transferred to the custody of the EFCC. The senior advocate of Nigeria said the EFCC has the legal right to prosecute Emefiele, of course, for what he has been accused of. So this morning, we'll be talking about the jurisdiction of the DSS, to be or not to be. Do they have the power to hold Emefiele for the crimes he has been accused of? And of course, Abdulrasheed Bawa. Well, Mr. Ige, over to you. What is the constitutionally provided function of the Secret Service?
Well, I'm sure as the name inclines, State Security Service, or now that is being referred to as the Department of State Security. To me, I think they have just about three core functions, or should I say four?
Okay.
I think the first major function of the DSS is to prevent and tackle any threat to Nigeria's internal security.
Okay.
Be able to detect, and also prevent. And of course, what that means is that threats that go beyond the powers of the police and some other internal security agencies, then you expect that the DSS will be able to step in, and you'll be able to talk of, intelligence gathering. And of course, you talk of acts of terrorism and all of that. So that falls within the functions of the DSS. Another function is also to provide a security cover, for some government
executive officials.
Not just executive, even the heads of legislature and, of course, the judiciary and some other key government personnel. It's part of their responsibility to provide security cover for them. Another one is also to uphold and enforce the criminal laws, of Nigeria. And I think they also provide the criminal legal services to police. What that means is that, look, they can actually do investigation of some things and be able to hand over their findings to the police for prosecution. To me, those are their major, basic functions.
So we have DSS officials protecting our lawmakers?
Of course, depend. For example, you have the president of the Senate of Nigeria would definitely have a security detail.
Those in sensitive positions.
Those in sensitive positions.
Because I was thinking of the number of lawmakers we have.
Of course, the speaker.
If,
no, not for no,
if
not
we have any DSS official left.
No, the top ranking officials, the speaker, the deputy speaker, president of the Senate, the deputy, Senate president, governors, of course, heads of the judiciary, and some other high net worth individuals, as determined by the operational guidelines of the DSS.
So looking at Emefiele's, what he has been accused of, what the investigation is supposed to work on, do his offences qualify him for an all-expense-paid trip to DSS? And let me quickly read what he has been accused of. Money laundering, terrorism financing, economic sabotage, mismanagement of Forex, and the Naira redesign policy, among other crimes.
Well, I think the only one that will probably fall within the urgent purview of the DSS will be the financing terrorism.
Okay.
I'm sure you know that's one of the major functions of the DSS, to ensure that, look, we have a tight internal security. And if those are some of the allegations against Emefiele, then you expect that the DSS would want to extract, certain information from him. What has he done over the last couple of years? Where has he traveled to? They need to extract as much information as possible to be able to provide coordinates in terms of who did he meet with, where has he been sending money, who's been getting money, where have they met, and all of that. So those will fall within the functions of the DSS. Remember that the prosecutorial powers will now fall back, to either the police or the EFCC. I think at this point it's for the DSS to be able to obtain information that is particular to their own area of jurisdiction. Remember I said earlier that part of the responsibility of the DSS is also to uphold and enforce, the criminal laws of Nigeria. So that could be part of their functions, especially when you relate it to terrorism. The other ones could fall within the confines of Economic and Financial Crimes Commission.
In the event that the financial allegations, let's say there was no terrorism charges there, but was possibly going to cause chaos, because the DSS looks at crimes against the state.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation with my programs manager earlier today. Would that also be grounds for them to pick up Godwin Emefiele?
It depends on the allegations that have been sent before the DSS. We may not be privileged, to know all of the security intelligence information about Emefiele. They could as well have gathered more than what we know, and they just want him to either debunk or straighten what they have, in their files already. So it's just within the realms of conjectures for now. Let's see what comes out at the end of it. He's still in DSS custody. I think they've gone to court to be able to obtain.
To extend.
Stay, with them. I'm sure at the end of the day, DSS will probably brief us or hand over whatever they've been able to extract, hand it over to the Federal Ministry of Justice, who will now prosecute that matter on behalf of the federal government of Nigeria.
Now, Femi Falana insists that the DSS should restrict his attention to terrorism charges and let the EFCC handle the money laundering. While I understand his position based on what he believes are the core functions of the different departments, it's important to note that the EFCC did not go for Emefiele. So asking the DSS to take on the terrorism and give EFCC a case they were not interested in might not yield the best results.
Excuse me, please. I think what the DSS will do, what I think the DSS will do at the end of the day is that, look, they will have a file containing every information they have about Emefiele and send it to the office of the president. Unfortunately, we do not have a national security advisor at the moment. I do not know whether Nuhu Ribadu will be playing that role. If Nuhu Ribadu is the special advisor to the president on national security, he may as well be superintending over the functions of the DSS. Probably a file will be prepared and sent to the office of the president. The president, of course, will have his kitchen cabinet and say, look, this is what we have against this man. He will have to listen to advice, call in some legal expert and say, okay, can we send this thing to the Ministry of Justice to prosecute on behalf of the federal government of Nigeria? So it's either they send the the file to the Federal Ministry of Justice, or they send the file, you know, to EFCC to say, look at the dossier we have on this suspect. Can you go ahead and prosecute this matter? So those are two ways, really. But I'm sure the DSS wouldn't be heading to court to say, look, court, we have this information about this man, especially if it is not relating to terrorism or financing terrorism or associating with terrorists. You understand? Any other thing that borders on economic or financial crime will have to be sent to the president, who will in turn now decide, based on advice, are we sending it to Federal Ministry of Justice to prosecute, or we send the case file to EFCC and take it up from there?
Yeah, but with what you have described, it leaves the EFCC at the receiving end, waiting to get a file from wherever it comes for them to function. Can they not institute? I mean, the DSS made the move.
Yes.
Right? So can't we see a situation where, well, there was investigation already ongoing by the EFCC. They have found some things and they make the move, as against waiting to get a file to say, oh, this person, based on the investigation done by another agency, is very likely guilty of this and that.
Remember that the offences against Emefiele may have come from the presidency itself, or may have come from certain people who are probably connected to the president, and they may have made a report to say, look, Mr. President, this is what we think this man has committed. And the man says, okay, no, based on what you have said, I think his SSS is in best position to handle this matter. Please forward this thing to the director of DSS. So it depends on what kind of information that has been available. If there is no information before EFCC, there is practically nothing EFCC can do. EFCC won't just wake up, you know, and storm your house without any prior investigation, without any inkling whatsoever of what may have happened. So it depends on who got the information, who is in the possession of the information, and who has made that directive for the former CBN governor, or the suspended CBN governor, to be investigated.
All right, we'll be taking a break shortly, but I'm asking very important questions. What is your take on the president's anti-corruption war with the moves made so far, suspensions of CBN governor and EFCC boss, and their detention by the DSS, interrogation and investigation, which is currently ongoing? A lot of people will consider such a raid a political move. Do these arrests have that undertone? 0817-923-0002. 0817-923-0003. 0817-923-0007. Of course, WhatsApp is 0809-03-06-416. Facebook and Twitter at Nigeria InfoPH. It's important to turn off your radio as you call. Akpaji Serenity on Facebook says, I'm beginning to like this Jagaban. And by that, I believe he means our president. Ebenezer Adeniyi says, did the CBN governor ever think about the pains that he caused Nigerians? What pain were you caused? And West says, this is my country, it's a funny one. The moment you are out of favor with the Supreme, you are corrupt and an enemy to the nation. Until we start doing things right from our constitution, we will not have true democratic system. So he believes this might be a witch hunt. Matthew calls from Rumokwarali. Good morning, Matthew. Oh my. All right, call back if you can. Still on Facebook, Agwasim Kenneth says, my fellow Nigerian youth and the former EFCC chairman of the EFCC was sternly warned, but he ignored the warning. Oh my, I've lost that message. Which has not only cost him his job, but his integrity, image, and reputation is being tarnished for no reason. Okay. Gospel Lehana Cho says, good morning. The DSS did the right thing to arrest the CBN governor and the EFCC chairman, because both of them joined to punish the good people of Nigeria. Okay. Well, investigation should reveal what is fact and what is not. And I'm hoping that we can head to court after that to get some things clear. They should go to the former president, Buhari. He should be brought to book, and INEC chairman too should be arrested for misleading Nigeria. Again, investigation will tell us what is and isn't. I seem to have an Oliver from Rukboku calling. Hello, good morning, Oliver.
Good morning.
Good morning. You have just 60 seconds. Please go ahead.
Okay. I think DSS like has the right to do that, because yes, responsible for the protection of the Nigerian people, so obviously he has the right to arrest they are trying to arrest the CBN government. So that's just what I have to say. So it's not abusing his power.
Okay. Thank you very much. So Oliver believes that the DSS are well within their right to make a move based on those reasons. Well, coming up after the break, we'll be talking about the arrests, of course, of the EFCC boss, and compare that to Emefiele's detention. Please stay with us.
Never ends.
Let the person walk, we vote you. You see, the person doesn't have to ever tell us to wait for the godfather to take him again.
You carry your five anything where? Who won't give you job?
But I mean, some people have succeeded, unfortunately.
Joy, let's not lie.
No.
Head is a mess.
For more talk, news, and sports, stay tuned to Nigeria Info.
We'll be right back after this.
We are back.
This is your number one talk station.
Nigeria Info.
This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back. It still is Morning Crossfire. I'm Sam Oracle Chinedu. We're talking about the jurisdiction of the DSS. This is thanks to human rights lawyer Femi Falana stating that the DSS lacks the constitutional power to investigate and prosecute the suspended governor of the CBN. And he says they should restrict their attention to terrorism charges and transfer the other case to the EFCC. So let's look at another arrest that has been done by the DSS as well. Well, I have Mr. Olelekan Ige right here as my guest. He's a journalist and public affairs analyst. You're welcome once again, Mr. Ige.
Yeah, thank you, Chinedu.
Now, Bawa is also being held for abuse of office. I see a very slim chance of the commission, by that I mean the EFCC, prosecuting Bawa while he was running the place. So how does a commission like the EFCC self-sanitize if its boss has those heavy allegations on his head? How would the prosecution of such a man in such a position have happened?
Right. It's debatable, really, for EFCC to prosecute its own boss. That would have been very difficult for EFCC to investigate allegations against its own boss. It's like me writing a petition against the chairman of EFCC, and I'm sending the petition to the same chairman who I'm accusing of setting wrong thing. I'm sure you already know that nothing, you know, will come out for, and there's no other person I can send that to in the commission that will not forward such to the boss and say, look, I just received this petition against you, and you expect that the man will say, okay, let's set up a panel or a committee
to investigate.
So you could say, okay, in this case, the president may have been right to say, look at the allegations against this man. Okay, DSS, a neutral party, you know, in this matter. Can you investigate this and turn the file to me and let me see whether this is true or not? And I do not know the kind of allegations against Rashid Bawa, you know, to have warranted the suspension. We are not privy to what may have led to that. But in this case, I think you could just say, look, the DSS may be performing its function of providing criminal legal services, you know, to the executive arm of government. It's part of what the act that set up the state security service, you know, that's part of the powers they have.
Okay.
You're going to uphold, you know, and also ensure that you uphold the laws, you know, of the Federal Republic. So in this case, is to interview Bawa naturally, ask for his account details, look at his call log, look at the petitions against him and see whether they can extract anything positive from him or negative, whichever way, and they'll be able to prepare a report and send it back to the president, who is also the commander-in-chief of all the armed forces of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. So you expect that they'll do a detailed investigation, then forward the case file to the president for, or they will advise the president, or rather keep the file open and say, look at the outcome of our investigation, Your Excellency, you may wish to proceed from what, you know, we've sent to you.
All right, we're asking what your take is on the president's anti-corruption war. Is this considered a political move, or do this arrest just fit for what they have been called, a war against corruption? The numbers call us 0817-923-0002. Now, some residents of Port Hackett actually applauded the president, Bola Tinubu, for suspending the chairman of EFCC, Bala. Speaking on Nigerian Info's Morning Crossfire, some of the callers said the action of the president is right in ensuring accountability.
The suspension of PS Mrs. Chairman is a welcome development because he was sentimental and tribalized. Yes, yes, he investigated PS Mrs. Chairman very well because the way he was running his office, he was running it as the former CDN MFA was running the Central Bank, which is not the way to go. This one, I'm very, very happy for the EFCC chairman. This is suspended man because all the money has been collecting from people. I've never seen it in federal government before. This man is doing wonderful things. Let him arrest him and arrest him very, very well. I want to thank Bola Tinubu for this bullshit he's taking.
Oh, Mr. Ige. Apparently, some of our callers also have investigative capabilities.
Well, I think you may not blame them for what they are saying. Remember that since the creation of the EFCC, all past chairmen have gone through one turbulence of the other.
Exactly.
From Nuhu Ribadu to Farida Waziri to Ibrahim
Lamagu.
To Magu. You understand? To Ibrahim Magu. Now we have Rashiba. All past chairmen of EFCC have been brought in one controversy, you know, or the other. Sometimes they may actually be, you know, till today, we do not know what is the what was the crime of Ibrahim Magu. Remember, up till now, the Attorney General and whatever committee they set up to investigate Magu never brought out any paper to suggest that, look, Magu was right or Magu was wrong. We have similar thing with Nuhu Ribadu. We had same thing with Ibrahim Lamode, same thing with Farida, you know, Waziri. They've all been embroiled in one controversy or the other. Their tenure, you know, had never ended well.
Okay, we have Braid from Mile One. Good morning, Braid. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, Olanigo, good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Yes, for me, the arrest of the EFCC chairman is a good one. But let the president, let him extend it to the former head of state and the former president. Because there is no way that the president, they are not aware of the deeds of this high-profile security man, anti-graft agency. So if Mr. President Bola Ahmed Tinubu, also for me, if he wants to fight it holistically, if he wants to fight crime, corruption holistically, let him also present himself. Because he's been once a governor of his state, he has become a senator of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. Let him also present himself. As such, it will be a clear indication that really he's fighting crime and criminality. Thank you and God bless you.
Oh, thank you very much, Braid. Clement calls from Ada George. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. First, I'd like to say that what the president is doing is, should I say, is related to lynch horns.
Really? How so?
I don't know if there is another term I will use to describe that. My reason for saying that, of course, is not fast-fetched. Looking at during the campaign period, where cash were limited, we hear what the president said when he was campaigning as a result of cash shortage. So I want to believe that maybe is a payback sort of. Now, this same DSS that we have, I believe the same DSS we have in the previous administration, you know, and what they should have done, we didn't do it. Yes, the record that they attempted to arrest, but the courts stopped them.
Yeah,
I believe we still have the same court today. So why? What happened then and what is happening now? Concerning the ESPC boss, I did not say anything that the ESP boss have done apart from the weak allegations, because we hear one that he lodged for how many weeks somewhere in the Arab and spending a huge amount of money. Where did the money come from? Because his salary cannot. So that means the ESP himself, themselves, can prosecute the ESP boss. So for me, if you want to do something, just like other quarters have demanded, start with INEC first. You know, probe INEC. If truly that we want a Nigeria that will work, seeing the cries of many, because the CBA governor, of course, made us cry in January, February. In that same January, February, INEC made us cry more. So, probe INEC.
All right, Clement. Thank you. Let's give my guest some time to respond. Good news from Mao 3, and then Mr. Ige talks to us. Good morning, good news.
Good morning, my brother, man.
Please go ahead.
Thank you. How are you?
We're doing well.
Thank you. My own point in this issue, I believe that the EFCC chairman, like this one, is they just want to change him and put their own boys. Now, let us start from Nuhu Ribadu. For example, all the allegations against Nuhu Ribadu, what finally happened? They only removed him and brought in other persons. At the end of the day, the police even promoted him. Come to Ribadu. Ribadu was giving heavy allegations. To the extent that I personally had to follow that Ribadu's case, it was very obvious when Ribadu said to the world that the people that called me for panel never asked me about money. That in the media, they say I hate money. That even made the vice president, former vice president, to say he will resign for who's going to prove what they say. Finally, they moved Ribadu, this guy.
Magu.
And up till now, we have not heard anything that he did. They're fixing Bawa. Now, Bawa is out on the suspension basis.
Mm.
I bet you, even this Magu that was even removed, was even promoted by the Civil Police Service Commission and police. And there's no thing that has been linked to him up till now.
Okay.
That's not all the media and fighting that this government wants to put in their own too. Not because they are criminals. Yes, there may be elements of criminality in the FCC, but the chairman are not in their criminals.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Good news. So let's start from the first caller. It says, why has DSS not gone after past leaders, governors, presidents, and those who he thinks might deserve a call from the DSS?
Well, he specifically mentioned the past presidents and heads of state.
Mm.
Now, remember, that will be the last resort in any investigation. If, for example, Ministry A has some financial misdeeds, you are not going to start with the president. That ministry presented the budget before the National Assembly.
That's right.
Defended the budget before being signed into law by the president. So the first place to start is to start from that ministry. Start the investigation. If it requires calling the minister to order or to come and answer some questions, you invite the minister. If the minister now says, look, I had the directive of the president to transfer this money from the account of that ministry to another person's personal account, then you are now having a trail of how transactions took place. So the next obvious thing is to invite the president and say, look, Mr. President or Mr. Former President, these are the allegations against you. We're inviting you to come and respond to them. So until you do that, you don't go and arrest the man when there is no direct, you know, allegations for him to say, look, while he was in office, he transferred money from the coffers of maybe Federal Revenue Service to his personal account, to any account whatsoever linked to him. So it will be difficult to start with the former heads of state or past president. There has to be a trail, you know, before you arrive there. The other person talked about investigating INEC. Unfortunately, the president does not have the power to even investigate INEC. The only body set up to do that would be the National Assembly. INEC presented the budget, defended the budget. Only the National Assembly has the oversight function, you know, to call the chairman of INEC, you know, to order and say, look, we gave you, you know, XYZ. How did you spend the money? Come and give us a breakdown of how the money was spent, how it was remitted. Do you have audited account of your agency and all of that? Only then can you begin to talk about investigating INEC, except there is a gross misdeed on the part of the chairman of INEC. Only then can the president fire the chairman of INEC. But if you have checked, for more than enough or not, they usually finish out their tenures.
But what you have talked about would be in the case of a misappropriation, financially, of course. In the event that Nigerians have complaints, like they obviously do, that an election was not free and fair, would that still be for the National Assembly?
If you say the election was not free and fair, then you head to the court. That's where the courts are. When you say not free and fair, are you saying that, look, 2 billion was budgeted to buy ballot papers and you did not see ballot paper? Because there's a difference between elections not being free and fair and financial misdeeds.
It's a case of the candidate that I love so much.
Okay.
Is not in Abuja.
Okay.
So, and we know that he was voted for massively by Nigerians.
Yes.
So let us probe the chairman because my candidate is not president.
Your candidate is not president. That's why you should go to court. You want to challenge the outcome of an election.
Mm.
It's a different thing from accusing the chairman of financial inducement. There are two separate things. Anything concerning election must go to the tribunal. That's why you have the election petition tribunal. You go there and ventilate everything that you have as evidence to be able to prove your case. And once you're able to prove it beyond every shred of doubt, of course, the balance of judgment is in your favor. But right. If you're accusing the INEC chairman of financial misappropriation, it's a different thing completely. You can forward such a letter to the Economic and Financial Crimes Commission to investigate the man.
Clement said this is a witch hunt because the president during campaigning stated that the cash policy was designed to frustrate his chances. We all remember when he made that statement. Could this be his own way of getting back at the CBN governor?
It's arguable, really. The best way for us to know whether it's a witch hunt or not is for the outcome of the investigations by the DSS should be made public to Nigerians. Damning, you know, evidences against Emefiele. Are there things that he actually committed that has warranted this? Were there underhand dealings? He's been accused of unnecessarily favoring some people in terms of forex deals and all of that.
Mm.
Is this true? If it is true, then let's have the outcome of that investigation. But if, like we've seen in recent past, where you know you have DSS investigate this, and at the end of the day, the case suddenly dies down, then you can say yes, this man has actually been witch hunted. But we need to wait for the outcome of the investigation and see whether the federal government will prosecute Emefiele in court.
All right, I'll be taking messages from Facebook, Twitter, and WhatsApp shortly. Good News said they want to change the EFCC boss. Normally, this point is not supposed to hold water; it shouldn't be valid. But with our peculiar history with EFCC bosses, it is admissible. As you said earlier, Nuhuri Badu, Farida Waziri, Ibrahim Mago. I actually forgot Lamode's administration.
That was Ibrahim Lamode, of course.
Yeah, I didn't even remember he was
Lamode the EFCC boss at some point. Farida Waziri.
Yes, yes. So, and now you have Abdulrasheed Bawah. Is there a problem of finding the right person to head the EFCC? Or is it a case of whoever is in that position automatically becomes a target?
Naturally, you're a target, without any doubt. You don't prosecute people. People have involved in economic and financial crisis. And you expect them to go to church and do Thanksgiving and say, we thank you for sending us to court. It's a very sensitive job, I'm sure you know. Highly sensitive. It's a job that you can be offered money you've not seen in your entire life.
Mm.
You know, somebody can table it before and say, look, why don't you forget this case? Why don't you owe this $10 million, you know? And forget about, you know, it's a tempting position.
Yeah.
And of course, you expect that the commission will carry out its responsibilities and people will be happy. They will go to church and do Thanksgiving and say, look, I thank God that I was found guilty. I was sent to jail. Now I'm back. I want to thank God. Of course, you expect that you are exposed to a lot of people who are very powerful in this country.
Mm.
You understand? You know, I always tell people that you don't need to be a president to be powerful in Nigeria.
True.
There are people who are not holding, in fact, people have not held any political position in Nigeria, but they are very powerful. So you understand when EFCC takes Olalekan to court and, you know, people you've never heard them call you in your life. Some, you know, you adore them when you were growing up, you know. A former president suddenly calls you and says, look, Olalekan is my man. What's the problem with him? Why don't you let him go? And all of that. So you understand that there's enormous pressure on whoever becomes the chairman of EFCC. And that may as well have contributed to why a lot of them have not just ended well. Because when the pressure becomes too much, then the president or those who are a cabal, so to say now, those who are close to the president, can as well start telling the man, look, this young man that he said this EFCC is causing too much, you know, pains and all of that. There are allegations that he has collected money, even though they are not, you know, all manner of allegations can come up against you. And the president says, okay, no problem. I've heard enough about this young man. Can you tell him to step aside while we investigate it? Please put another person there.
Yeah, man.
You know, and the moment you tell the man to step down, for you to tell him to go back is always a problem.
That should make the next person coming in to be wary. I mean, it's a cause for concern. If I were replacing an EFCC boss who has a case, you know, the DSS currently is investigating, and I understand the trend of unceremonious exits of EFCC bosses around.
None has successfully ended the
exactly. To make that position, I don't think I would want to take such a position, because I know at some point I would also have to leave.
Somebody has to take up the responsibility, really. You have to take a chance, take up the responsibility. You could commend EFCC that, look, they've been successful in prosecution of cases in recent years. I think the last 3, 4, 5 years, EFCC has really tried in terms of prosecuting those who have been involved in economic and financial crime. So a lot of Nigerians want to take up that position. And incidentally, all former chairmen of EFCC have been from one part, you know, of Nigeria. So since we have tried all of this, you know, from Ribadu to Farida Waziri to Lamode to Magu to Rashid Bawa, all of them have been from the northern part of Nigeria. Maybe we should now rotate it now to southern part of Nigeria.
All right.
And see whether southerners might be able to hold forth better, you know, their brothers from the north.
A question on Facebook, I beg your pardon, on WhatsApp from Kaiser says, please, can DSS arrest any top military officer like Chief of Army Staff? It's not your particular, but Chief of Army Staff. What are you trying
to
say?
The DSS can arrest the highest ranking military officer. There's no doubt about it. Remember that the president is the commander-in-chief of all the armed forces we have in Nigeria. And if there are allegations against the Chief of Army Staff and the president feels strongly that it needs to be investigated and questioned, of course, the DSS can arrest not just the Chief of Army Staff, even the Chief of Defense Staff, who is the highest ranking military officer, if he's found, you know, wanting. But usually some kind of respect is usually accorded, you know, these people. But there's no doubt about it. If the need calls for it, then the DSS can invite whoever the president has asked them to investigate.
Abigail on WhatsApp says, good morning. For me, Tinubu is not fighting corruption presently. What he's doing on the suspension of both Emefiele and Bawa is punishing those who gave him headache during the last election. And Priye says, if the CBN governor is arrested because of terrorism financing and others, let him be prosecuted immediately so that those who commit a crime with him would come out by the DSS. Good morning, Sam and the guests. I do not believe in the process. There are dossiers against the president on drugs and no one is picking him up. What moral right does he have to pick up another? Linda is asking. Good morning. Regarding the arrest of the EFCC chairman, I only hope it's not a media trial. There would be a conclusion to the outcome of investigations, not like the case of Magu that has died a natural death, giving credence to the allegations that the powers that be only wanted him out of office. All right, so we're going back to the phone lines. 0817-923-0002. Please turn off your radio as you call. Now, an update to Emefiele's situation. According to the Nigerian Tribune, it states that DSS has recovered 18 bags of currency and documents from Emefiele's Lagos residence. The report reads, no fewer than 18 Ghana Must Go bags containing money and documents have been carted away by the operatives of the DSS from the residence of the suspended governor of the CBN. If this is true, this does not make Emefiele's case any easier.
Even though you could say Emefiele had had sufficient experience in the banking sector, remember he was the managing director of Zenith Bank before he was appointed the governor of CBN, and as governor of CBN, of course, he will have earned his money and all of that. So you could say, look, he has a right to have some kind of money in his account. But I'm sure you know, under the Money Laundering Act, there's a certain amount of money you must have at home. So if this story is to be believed,
unless if those 18 bags contain 10 naira, then we can understand.
Even if they contain 10 naira, I can't remember the exact amount of money you should be able to have at home. Once you cross that threshold, then you can be accused of money laundering. So if it is true that these 18 bags containing cash and other documents were found in his house, then the federal government will be established another case of money laundering. But let's hope and believe that it's just within the realms of speculation for now.
Good luck calls from Andoni. Good morning, good luck.
Good morning, Sam.
Please go ahead.
And the guys in the studio.
Yeah, good morning.
Why would our EFCC boss go and punish. Because this body is supposed to be like they are not supposed to be political. But government in, government out, if we check the activities, we will see that they are political, which is wrong. Like this president suspended a bus, DOCC bus. I could remember when Fabio was in PDP, and they were after him, but immediately the man gets into APC, the case died off. So what do you think will become of these people?
Oh, that's a question we are all asking. What do we think will become of it? And our final call from Chima from Ulukuta. Good morning, Chima. You have just a minute.
Good morning, Sam.
Good morning. Please go ahead.
Yes, Sam. I think the suspension of Bawa and the situation, for me, I think it should be holistic.
Okay.
Because we have heard several investigation of such that never came to land light. Then, Sam, I have been giving on what you said about the people wanted, somebody they wanted to be in Abuja who was not there.
No, yeah.
So, that is not what people is saying.
Oh, really?
Looking at the whole process of INEC, can we say that the only crime, corruption, is when somebody was given money to buy ballot paper according to your guess and he didn't buy? How about compromising in the office? Is this can't be the same as corruption?
We understand,
Chima. What
are you
talking about?
But that is what the tribunal exists for, as my guest has said. And as you can tell, there's something ongoing there. All right, Mr. Ige, we're down to our final minutes. What should be our expectations? We've also heard that 8 ministers under Buhari are currently being probed. What should we expect from this anti-corruption war by our President Tinubu?
I think we should expect action and result. Maybe to be able to deviate away from what we've had in recent years is that let us know the outcome of all these investigations. We've had, you know, several investigations, several committees being set up to investigate certain infractions and all of that. And more than often not, you don't get to hear of this report, you know, after some time. Let it not just be something of a showmanship. Let us also, you know, erase it from the minds of Nigerians that, look, this is witch hunt. You know, we need action, we need results, and of course, prosecution at the end of the day.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. Ige, for your time. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's it on Morning Crossfire this morning. I've heard from reliable sources that I'll be here again tomorrow morning. But between now and then, Hello Port Hackett with Jude comes up. Connect and engage with us at Nigeria Info PH on all platforms with me at Sparkling Oracle, or simply search for Sam Oracle Chinedu. Have yourself a magnificent Monday.